Hello and welcome to the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Newdecker. Today I'm joined by another online coach. He specialises in weight loss, fat loss and helping people achieve their goals online. He has a lot of experience with working with athletes, MMA athletes as well. So I am joined by Yanis today. So how are you?
Hello, Kate. I'm good. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. The weather here's pretty good today, so I'm pretty dandy. But yeah, I don't know what the weather's like in the UK today. Probably not quite as sunny.
No, whereabouts are you then? Because it's not looking good here where I am.
I'm in Barcelona, so it's quite sunny. But like, I was in the UK at the beginning of the week, and it was just this pure rain, just cold. Yeah. And rain, but I mean, I invited you onto the podcast today because I think you got a lot to share with the listeners. Could you give the listeners a little bit of an idea on your background?
Yeah, sure. So I am a nutrition coach. I mainly help people improve their eating habits. You know, people that want to lose weight, people that want to build muscle, and a large sort of area of my clientele is, like you said, MMA fighters. Certainly in the UK, because weight cutting is quite. I'm not sure if many of the listeners have heard about weight cutting, but it is quite a dangerous area.
It's quite so specific. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about to begin, because I know more about sort of jockeys making weight, but obviously with MMA fighters, it's slightly different in that they can weigh themselves a little bit more and they can rehydrate and that kind of thing. So, yeah. I mean, like, what does it take for an MMA fighter to make weight for a competition?
Well, obviously, when they come to me, I try to make sure that they're fighting at, you know, they're not cutting something ridiculous like 20, 30 pounds, or they're not fighting in a weight class above that's like 10, 15 pounds. Yeah. They have a nice, you know, they have a nice little area that they can lose a little bit of weight. The first few weeks is certainly we try to target fat loss. So it's just a reduction in calories, adjust their portions, sort of clean up their diet. And then as we get closer to the fight, so as training sort of tapers down, I'd say a week or two out, we want to target water. And obviously that is through restricting carbohydrates, so things like fruit, starches, grains, pretty much any type of carbohydrate except for leafy green vegetables, and things like sodium. So we just make sure they don't salt their meals, and that almost has a flushing effect that brings out the water. Like I say, though, it's not an everyday person's thing. It certainly isn't healthy or sustainable weight loss, but it does help them get to the right weight on the scale. So yeah, that's essentially what it is.
Wow, so it's quite vigorous for them, isn't it? It's quite a lot of changes, and that's actually not something that's probably quite as applicable to the average person, but it's still, obviously, you can use elements of that. Do any of the athletes you work with, do they find that mentally quite difficult in terms of especially like coming up to competitions and that kind of thing? Do they find it quite taxing?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like two extremes, really, because you have some people that they almost get quite worried that they're not going to make weight. So they end up cutting food portions, cutting carbohydrates right at the start of camp, you know, when you're trying to, when you're trying to have a good fight camp, you want to learn things, you want to, you know, build a good performance. And I see some people eating nothing but chicken and broccoli throughout the whole fight camp.
Yeah.
And then you get the other extreme of fighters that they just can't stick to a certain diet, you know, even for a week or two where you restrict certain carbs. They just love it. So
yeah.
There are two extremes, I think. It's a tough one.
And you talk about extremes a lot, and I think that is quite applicable to, obviously, you know, general public. People like to swing on the pendulum of extremes of, like, going out the weekend, going crazy, like, eating too much, and then going on a crazy diet during the week. Would you say that there is, like, some similarities between the two of working, obviously, because you work with both, really?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was speaking to someone the other day, actually, that required, I think they required something like 1,600 calories to lose weight. It was a smaller woman that was trying to lose weight, and she needed 1,600 calories. She was telling me how she was eating 900 calories. And I was just there like, what do you mean? You know, fat loss is progressive. And I think we've got this misconception that the more that I cut my food intake, the more fat I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think the idea is that a lot of people get fat loss sort of mixed up. It's a long game, you know, and they're certainly, you know, cutting portions too quickly, giving up after just having, you know, a treat meal, you know, it's mad. So yeah, it's certainly in both MMA and regular dieting, there seems to be extremes, doesn't there?
Absolutely. I think it's kind of one of those things that where people get to a certain point and they're like, oh my God, I'm really not happy with my lifestyle. I'm going to take like massive, ridiculous action. And it's like, it's okay to take massive action, but they just take it in the most like extortionate way with like juice cleanses, like shake replacements, anything that's going to get them that quick fix really quickly. And I mean, like, you're almost as big of a fan of like Herbalife as I am.
Oh, I love the stuff.
Yeah. I can't get enough. Like literally, 5 meals a day, me and that Herbalife, it's great. But yeah, so I mean, what do you think is, why do people do that though? Why do you think initially people reach for something like a meal replacement, for example, or Herbalife?
I think two things really. I think like it's sort of a quick fix and a lack of education on one hand, but then on the other hand, it's almost like, you know, as practitioners, you and I know that weight loss isn't necessarily fat loss.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people, because of this, you know, this whole idea of, oh, if the number on the scale goes down, then I'm making progress. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'm not. So they end up taking these shakes. They end up going ridiculously low with their carbohydrates and doing silly things. And, you know, whilst that's motivating at the beginning and you might have lost a lot of initial weight, it's more than likely water. So I think the error is a lack of education, because if people knew perhaps what we know about fat loss and in the way we know it works, they look at those shakes and think, well, it's not sustainable. Because ask yourself, how many people do you know still now? Because I've known hundreds of people that have done Herbalife, but I couldn't name one now that is still on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Except from the distributors who like claim. I met one once and she was like, every morning I have a shake, every morning, and it keeps the weight off. And I think, I don't know if that's actually true, but like...
I think if they promoted it in the way that it is, you know, a lower calorie meal replacement shake, if they said, look, have this for breakfast instead of your higher calorie breakfast and it will help create a deficit, cool, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But it's when they're saying, you know, replace your whole diet with 5 shakes a day, and it's like, really?
That's it. That's what's annoying. And it's just, you're not getting the fibre, you're not getting the nutrients you need, you're probably not getting the protein. I haven't even looked at the back of Herbalife before. Like, I haven't even looked at the nutritional detail in it, but I'm assuming you're going to be missing out on a lot, and probably the ingredients aren't going to be high quality. And, I mean, the whole thing is built on a pyramid scheme anyway, so to be honest, it's just the front of the pyramid scheme. So I mean, even the product is pretty shit, so they can't even cover up the fact that the company is pretty shit with a good product, but unfortunately that's the thing with a lot of them. I mean, there's a ton of awful diets that you probably see clients come to you off the back of, and Slimming World is one that you speak a lot about on social media. Do you see quite a lot of people coming back off Slimming World to you, unhappy with their results?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it goes with every system. I'm sure, you know, people go from Weight Watchers to Slimming World to, you know, different plans and try out different things and figure out what works for them. I think, you know, I want to make it clear, I don't think Slimming World is the same as Herbalife and Juice Plus, because it's not. It's a system that helps you, you know, it's almost like a portion control system as opposed to shakes. But it's a system that I don't think many people learn much from. And the reason that a lot of people do end up not sustaining their progress is because once they've left Slimming World, they almost end up not knowing what to do. So they've not learned much about calories, fine. You don't want to count calories, fine. They've not learned much about portion control at all, which is essential for fat loss. The only real benefits I see from Slimming World are the fact that they've made it an easy system for people to follow, and the fact that there are support groups that can help with adherence. Apart from that, you're just not learning anything. Yeah. You know, it's just like eat this and eat this, but it's not telling you, you know, it's just not teaching you anything, and that's my issue with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I saw one of your posts before, and it's like they call it like sin foods, and it's SYN. I don't know what that actually stands for, but obviously the connotation that I immediately think is sin is like a bad thing, and obviously sin foods are dairy, milk bars, whatever. And obviously that's not helpful for people as well if they're demonizing certain foods as well. Like, what is the sin thing? Do you know?
Well, it's sort of like they're trying to imply that having too many calories, because it's not even actually naughty foods, because an avocado actually is classed as a sin. There's a,
oh, an avocado is classed
as a sin. So I'm guessing it's because of the calorie content. You know, the calorie content. But still, I it's just a very backwards approach, because it's teaching someone that a dairy milk, you know, although certain foods should be eaten in moderation, I get that. Yeah. They're almost saying that an avocado is the same as a dairy milk. And it's like that.
They're not the same food.
Same calories, but it's not a sin.
You know? It's not. And I think, just going slightly off piece here, like I was looking at my mum's like Weight Watchers book, and it's the same thing with points. And like, for example, like fruits are completely free foods with on Weight Watchers. So you could have like 110 bananas in a day, and that would be a free food. Like, and that's the thing. It's kind of getting away from people to stop calorie counting, because I think they're working on the basis that people don't want a calorie count. And I think people do have a massive aversion to calorie counting. But I think if people knew there are other options to calorie counting in itself, then it would be okay. But I think the way they've done these programs, there are massive flaws in them. And I think they do need to keep updating them, like you say. But yeah, so, I mean, you must see a lot of terrible diets floating around, like I've said, with like clients and that kind of thing. If you had to pick one diet to do for the rest of your life, so we're not just like talking the next month or like, you know, a week like people like usually do, which would it be of the following? So we have the keto diet, so, and then we have swimming world. Oh my god, actually that sounds a brilliant one. Swimming world, the vegan diet, the South Beach diet, the cabbage soup diet, or the apple diet. If you had to choose one, what would you choose?
Okay, so what's that Southwest? What's that?
So the South Beach diet is basically, from what I know, I did try to look it up online again, and I couldn't get on their website because I'm in the EU. So I don't know if they've gone downhill, the South Beach diet. But I remember it being like a low carb diet with a lot of like foods eliminated. So, I mean, that could be a viable option. You might even get to sit on the beach when you do the diet. I don't know if that's like an added like plus.
I don't know. The minute you said low carb, I was like,
it's not one for you.
Oh, God. Oh, so I have to pick one. I have to.
Or you could eat apples for the rest of your life. They're a carb.
No, I couldn't do it. Do you know what?
Yeah.
It goes against a lot of what I say, but I'll probably go vegan. Probably go vegan. Because they're the only one, despite all the douchebags that promote it in a really shit way.
Yeah.
They're the only one that I think the ethics behind it are actually, you know,
decent.
It's a good thing. It's not that I hate I hate vegans, it's just the way they promote it. But you know, if it was in a slightly different way, and I suppose I can still eat corn products, Connor. So
exactly. Like, you're gonna get your carbohydrates. And if you're not completely like crazy about it and dogmatic, you'll still have friends. Whereas I don't think people who do keto would have friends. So I mean, at least you'll keep them.
So I've just got to keep on the down low, that's it. Just don't tell anyone that I'm vegan and don't try to do that.
Like, I mean, you've said it on this podcast, and I will record it and then, like, you know, just like play it any time that you like say anything about vegans, then I'll just play it to you. No, but good.
Oh, did you think I'll go for keto? Fuck that, man.
No. Not keto. No. Because, you want to keep your friends, so, you know. Swimming World could have been a vibe. Swimming World. You just swim. You don't eat. That's it. You just literally swim. moving on. So basically, like you may have seen, obviously there's been quite a vendetta against Joe Wicks recently on social media. I think you've got quite an unbiased view, but I'll ask again. What are your thoughts on the Joe Wicks effect on the fitness industry?
I think he's done more good than bad. Yeah. I think he's almost got, I think the way the industry is at the moment is we've got this like cake of truth here with sprinkles of marketing.
Yeah.
I think what Joe Wicks had was a cake of marketing with sprinkles of truth.
Yeah.
But he is making some adjustments, so you have to respect him for that.
Yeah.
He made millions misleading a couple of people probably along the way. Yes, definitely. But I think I don't know him personally, but certainly if you look at a lot of his content and you look at the way he is, his heart seems to be in the right place.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be like the CEOs of Herbalife and, you know, all these other douchebags. Oh my God, he seems to be right. He's helped get people more interested in cooking and moving more. And that for me is a positive, because this isn't about, you know, this isn't about us, this is about helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done that. But maybe he needs a little bit more education, certainly in areas of nutrition, I would say. But I think anyone that's putting him down is genuinely just a bit jealous. Because I don't think he's not someone you could really, you know, hate. I think that's a strong sort of word, and I don't think you can hate him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's kind of like he is changing what he's saying. And he is kind of like updating it bit by bit. Obviously, if he turned around completely and just went, no, calories are king, screw everything I said, obviously he's going to be completely rubbishing the books that he's put out at certain stages. So he is trying, but obviously bearing in mind that, like, he's got to think about his marketing as well and his image as well. So, like you say, I think he's trying his best. His heart's in the right place. But, yeah, it's good to just keep an open mind about it, because at the end of the day, he's done amazing things for the fitness industry and like social media and putting workouts on social media. It wasn't that popular before he started doing it as well, so
yeah,
it's not all bad. But
I mean, in some ways he paved the way for a lot of us online coaches, you know.
Yeah.
He essentially was at the start of that industry.
Yeah.
And it was at a time when people didn't want to think about calories, and he gave them a style of eating that didn't rely on calories. And it was at a time when people were covering up, you know, portion control and stuff. They were doing it the same. It's no different to Weight Watchers and Slimming World, you know. It's just now we're all becoming a lot more honest with our approach. We're expecting him to do the same. So yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's done some, you know, some perhaps not great things and said some silly things, and has a great marketing team, but I don't think he's a bad guy at all.
Yeah.
And he's done more good than bad.
Yeah, I think that's a good, honest approach from you there. Trying to just like give off that honest guy persona. So basically, like, you work with a lot of people and you must see a lot of things holding people back when it comes to achieving their weight loss. If you could pick one main thing that is holding people back from achieving weight loss, what do you think it is?
Patience, or certainly a lack of patience.
Yeah.
I think dieting is something that people need to sort of just develop in within their lifestyle and not really think about it. You know, develop strong habits and don't think about the outcome necessarily. Because we know that weight loss is a long game. And, you know, you see people eat really well for like 4 days, and then they'll eat, you know, like a McDonald's or something, and they'll be like, right, well, screwed my diet up, that's it. And so when you understand that dieting isn't about what you do in 1 or 2 days, it's a long game, you know.
Yeah.
You sort of understand that it's no matter what happens in one meal, you can always get back on track.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, you know, I think if people focused on weekly calories, if people were calorie counting, I think if they focused on weekly calories as opposed to daily, that would break that sort of misconception up. Because people would think, oh, well, I've had 3,000 calories today. I just know to have maybe 500 calories less
the next few days.
You know, things like that to help, you know, tick things over. But, yeah, patience for me. Patience is it.
Patience. Yeah, I think everyone lacks it. Because we live in a world where we're given everything like now, you know, social media, everything happens now. You can send a message to someone straight away. And that's an amazing thing, like, you know, we wouldn't be talking right now if it wasn't for things like that. However, it does sort of feed on to, like, everything else, and other things do take a lot of time, like having patience. So, as you know, this podcast is kind of, like, about mindset towards nutrition and fitness. It's one of those, you know, mindset coachy, cheesy things. So, if you could give listeners 3 actionable tips on their mindset with their nutrition and their fitness to take away with them to achieve their goals, what would they be?
I mean, the first one I would say is obviously develop daily, strong daily habits. So something simple, you know, you wake up in the morning, you know, I like to think most of us make our bed. If you don't make your bed, fine, but you at least brush your teeth, wash your face. Set something like that. So, you know, I want to drink more water. Set a way that you're drinking perhaps, you know, a couple of glasses in the morning, afternoon and evening, you know, to increase your water intake. If it's things like snacks, for example, keep handy a couple of, you know, 100-150 calorie snacks so that you know your snacks aren't going to, you know, go into a surplus. Either way, just small things, 3 maybe a day that you can tick off, daily tasks that you can stick to. Second thing I would say is, maybe on a Sunday, write down a couple of things that you want to learn this week, whether it's a new exercise, whether it's a new recipe, or, you know, something to do with your nutrition, your training, your lifestyle. It could be anything. And I think the final thing would be write down a couple of things that you're grateful for, because I think too much we're spending a lot of time in sort of the future and we're thinking, oh, I want this, I want to achieve this. And sometimes you just need to take a second to be like, wow, I've achieved this much weight loss. I've now cooked this many amazing, you know, recipes. Sometimes you need to give yourself a pat on the back. So, yeah, I think those 3 things. So setting daily tasks, certainly, you know, something you want to learn each week, and just be grateful for what you have done.
Yeah, entirely. I think those are 3 pretty important things that people need to grasp, I think, as well, like for proper lifestyle change and making the difference with achieving what they want to, really. And I think what me and you talk about is kind of what people don't want to hear, because it's the truth. But I think with the more that we speak about it, the more people know about it, they know that they're making better choices for the future. So I think that's really going to help them. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge on the show today. If people want to find you, how can they find you, basically?
Yeah, so all my social media platforms are at Mr. Sport Official. And yeah, just my website is mrsport.org. So yeah, there's loads of information on all of them, so you can just find me there.
Yeah. Where did Mr. Sport come from? Did one day someone was just like, Mr. Sport, like, with the hat?
my education is more in sport. It's more of a sports background rather than a health and science background. So it just clicked.
One day.
Came up with the idea, and my friend was like, oh, I'm going to write your name in my phone book as Mr. Sport. And 3 years later, it's been my thing.
And there you are. You're Mr. Sport now. That's how it is. That's it. I should introduce you. And today we have, I nearly wanted to, I was like, and today we have Mr. Sport. No, that sounds a bit random. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much for coming onto the show today. For the listeners, if you have enjoyed today, make sure you share it. Make sure you give Mr. Sport a follow and make sure you subscribe and rate. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.